Good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church. Pastor Paula here. I'm sitting in for Pastor Greg. He actually took a few days off and traveled out to see his daughter Lindsay and her family. I'm sure they're having a wonderful time together. Do keep him in prayer as he travels back with his family on Friday. Also, as you know, we have church this Sunday at our church building. We're very excited and looking forward to seeing everyone. So that'll be this Sunday at 10 a.m. So this evening, we're continuing in the book of Matthew. We're still in chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And we're going to be looking at the faith of the centurion. He actually had a faith that astonished Jesus. So our text, let's read in Matthew 8, 5 through 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. Father God, we ask that you would add blessing to your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a couple of observations. So we have this encounter with Jesus and this centurion. He sought Jesus out on behalf of his servant who is paralyzed and in terrible suffering. He isn't even coming on his own behalf. He's coming on the behalf of someone else. And as a centurion, he is a Roman officer in charge of 100 soldiers. So he is a man of authority. And he's also a Gentile. So as a Gentile, even approaching Jesus, a Jew, was pretty much unheard of. As a Roman soldier, they hated the Jews. They oppressed them. And the Jews, in turn, hated them. They just didn't like each other. When he asked this of Jesus, Jesus offers to go to heal his servant. And the centurion says he is not worthy for him to come to his house, that if he just says the word, his servant will be healed. It's those words that Jesus is astonished by. He's astonished by the centurion's faith because he says, you know, "You're not worthy to come to my house, but if you just say the word, I know that my servant will be healed." You know, he is the only person in the New Testament that Jesus says he has not found anyone with such great faith in Israel. But why this man's faith? Many others have come to Jesus by faith. We will see many of their stories. Just last week, we looked at the man with leprosy who by faith said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." We have the woman with the issue of blood. She believed that if she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. Then there were the men who carried their friend on a mat and lowered him down through the roof for Jesus to heal him. They had faith that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, that Jesus would heal him. And there are many, many more who by faith sought Jesus out for healing, not only for themselves, but on behalf of others, usually on the behalf of their children, maybe on you know, their loved ones. So what was so astonishing about this centurion's faith? It almost seems like, well, it's the same as everybody else's, but it really wasn't. So going deeper tonight, the centurion, we have already established that he was a Roman officer, a man of authority himself. You know, he was also a man of compassion. He was compassionate towards his servant who was very ill. I mean, in those days, servants were the lowest of the low. You know, they were considered to be really nothing other than a servant, and they were expendable. In fact, you know, many probably would have just said, well, he's sick, he's probably going to die, so just get me a new servant. But not the centurion. He was a man of compassion. You know, he kept him in his home and sought a healing on his behalf. This too speaks of his faith that, you know, Lord, I have faith that you can heal even my servant. Usually when we think of our faith, we think of, God, I have faith that you can do this for me. But we should also have faith that says, I have faith that, Lord, you can bring healing to my friend or my child or even people we don't know. He had great concern for his servant's well-being. And surprisingly, this man even had a love for the Jews, even though, you know, I mentioned earlier that the Roman soldiers didn't like the Jews and vice versa. But in Luke's account, in chapter 7 of Luke, we read that the elders of the Jews had this to say about this centurion. They were speaking on his behalf to Jesus. And he says, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So he was obviously a very compassionate and unique centurion of their time. His compassion didn't just extend to those in his household, but to those outside of his household as well, Jew and Gentile alike. He had this compassion about him. He was a man who understood and had respect for authority. You know, again, being a man who himself was under authority and at the same time had authority over others, he recognized Jesus' authority as superior to all others. He says, you know, I have servants. I tell them to go and do this and this and this, and they do it. So, you know, I know that you have the authority to do that. You know, he humbled himself before God and says, you know, I know that just by a word you can say it because that's how great your authority is, much greater than anyone else. You know, he had heard of Jesus and certainly heard of the authority with Jesus taught and healed others. He believed that Jesus need only to say the word and his servant would be healed. Again, what great faith in this man. It was the compassion that he had that fueled his faith in Jesus. He was a man of humility. He could have let many obstacles stand between him and Jesus. His pride, after all, he was a man of authority. He was a Roman soldier. You know, he could have allowed doubt to stand in the way, thinking, well, you know, I've heard about this Jesus, but I don't know, I'm a Roman. You know, is he really going to give me the time of day? You know, status, distance, self-sufficiency. Again, you know, I am who I am. I'm a man of authority. I should be self-sufficient. I should be able to get the best of help for my servant here. You know, the power that I have should be enough. But he didn't let his qualifications stand in the way of the greater power that Jesus had to save. Instead, in humility, he considered himself unworthy to even have Jesus enter his house. Lord, I am not even worthy for you to come into my house. You know, do we like the centurion humble ourselves before God, or do we demand our way? How often do we maybe go before the Lord and was like, you know, Lord, I have this thing and, you know, I really want you to do it for me. And, you know, I believe, but if not, I've got a backup plan over here. No, we need to have faith like him. We need to humbly come before God and say, you know what, Lord, I have this problem. I have this need, Lord, and I just humbly come before you because I want your will. And I believe by faith that you will bring healing, that you will give wisdom, that you will direct me in the right path, that your way is the way that I want. You know, as believers, we're to clothe ourselves with humility and with compassion and with kindness and gentleness and patience. And these are certainly all attributes that are evident by the way this centurion treated his servant and how he treated those outside of his household and how he approached Jesus. And what this story is all about, he was a man of great faith. The centurion's faith was centered on his belief in Jesus Christ. It wasn't on his belief of anything but completely on Jesus Christ. By faith, he believed that by faith, he believed in Jesus. He didn't have to go to Jesus and say, well, you know, I want to see your credentials. I want to see some sworn statements from others that have previously been healed by you. How often do we want proof? We want some actual, to know somebody that actually was healed by Jesus. You know, we want proof to back up our belief, in other words. But Jesus says, just believe. Just believe. You know, Jesus wasn't his last resort in seeking healing for his servant. I believe that when he realized how ill his servant was, that his first thought was, there's Jesus. He has power and authority greater than me. And he is the one that can just speak a word and my servant will be healed. He is the one that I need to go to. I don't need to call up my friends and ask their opinion. I don't need to, you know, call up the doctor and say, hey, can you come over and heal him? Everything that we have need of first should pass by Jesus Christ. First, we go to him and say, Lord, I have need of this. And sometimes when we go to Jesus believing in faith with what we have need of, in part of that answer might be, you need to go to the doctor to have an exam. You may need this or that. And God uses those things in healing as well. For this centurion, he just spoke the word and his servant was healed. It was the faith that brought the healing for his servant. He believed and he knew by faith that Jesus was the only one with power and authority to speak healing into his servant. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This centurion was hopeful. His faith was his hope and his belief in Jesus Christ. And he was certain that Jesus didn't even have to come and see his servant in order for him to be healed. He didn't have to actually witness the healing, that Jesus just had to speak a word and that healing would take place. How does our faith compare? Do we have a faith that is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see? Or do we have to have proof before we will have faith? How often do we become discouraged because we have prayed for healing and haven't seen the result yet? Jesus heals, and he heals according to his will, and he heals according to his time. We read of healings. I believe it was the prophet Naaman. He had leprosy, and he went for healing, and he was told to go to the water and wash himself before the healing would come. Sometimes the healing is instant. Sometimes it requires a few more steps, but Jesus does heal. He heals in his timing and according to his perfect will. So just as the man with leprosy said in our text last week, Lord, if you are willing, God is always willing. God is always willing, yet it doesn't always fit in our time frame or look the way we want it to. We continue to pray for healing over COVID-19, over racism, over our country, our world, over our families, our finances. And I admit there are days where our faith may waver a bit. It may seem a little hopeless or almost like, you know, giving up. But you know what? We need to believe. We need to believe that God is faithful, that he is just and that he is righteous and that he's hearing those prayers. And he is strengthening our faith through our prayers as we continue to believe and trust in him, as we continue to walk with him in this faith. So Jesus does hear our cries and he's bringing that healing. We just need to believe. What is he looking for in us? He's looking for a faith like the faith of the centurion. So Jesus is astonished at this man's faith. He turns to those following and he says, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. What must the elders of the law have thought at this statement? You know, after all, the centurion was only a Gentile, and they were elite elders of the law of Moses, entrenched in their religious traditions. But what about their faith? They who studied the scriptures and were looking for the Messiah, they hadn't even recognized who Jesus truly was. Jesus takes this opportunity to teach those following him that many will come from all over the world to the banquet in heaven and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not all will be allowed in. The Jews are God's chosen people, but that doesn't make them automatically included at this banquet because they're Jews. And they keep the letter of the law and their traditions. This doesn't make them right before God. You know, what makes you right before God is your faith, is believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's nothing that you do. It's nothing, no traditions that you keep, but it's by faith. It is faith alone that we enter heaven and will sit at the banquet table. Not because we are God's chosen people, or because we grew up in a Christian home, or because of who we know, or the position we hold in life, or the good deeds we do, or because we're married to a Christian, or, you know, because people think that we are a good person, that those things don't get us into heaven. Our faith in Jesus Christ gets us into heaven. It will be because of our faith which pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Do you believe that Jesus came down as the Son of God, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose again? Do you believe that God exists, the Creator of this world, and that He rewards all who earnestly seek Him? Are you earnestly seeking Him by your faith? Those without faith will be thrown out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, they will find themselves in hell. We don't like to talk about hell, but Jesus found it important to talk about it in this moment because He cares about our faith. He cares about our soul. He wants all of us to come to a saving faith in who He is. So He says, don't think that just because of who you are or what you were born into, if you were born as a Jew or as a Gentile, that's going to get you in. It's only by faith. So what should have astonished those listening is not only that, oh, my good deeds aren't going to get me in, but that Jesus was including the centurion, a mere Gentile, the one with great faith, to sit at the banquet table in heaven. Because the thought of a Gentile sitting at a table with a Jew was unheard of. But God is saying, no, the Gentiles will be included as well because of their faith. Jesus is not a respecter of persons. He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at where you came from or who you are or what you look like or what color you are. He looks at your heart. He looks at the faith that you have in Him. Don't think there is anything beyond your faith that will get you into heaven or that will please God more. We have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. It is a free gift from God that none may boast. We only have to believe. It's that simple. It's that simple. Why do we complicate it? So Jesus was astonished at the centurion's faith because he recognized the authority of Jesus and the power of His word over everything in this world. Are we recognizing the authority of Jesus and the power of His world over everything in this world? And at the same time, he also recognized his personal unworthiness, even though he was worthy in the eyes of those he had authority over. He recognized his personal unworthiness, how we recognized how unworthy we are compared to Jesus. But because of Jesus' great love for us, He came and died on the cross for us, that we may have faith like the centurion to believe in who Jesus is in, to believe in His power and His authority over our lives. Jesus was astonished at the centurion's faith because seeing God in Jesus Christ, the centurion humbled himself before Jesus. It is this faith that Jesus approves of and is looking for in all believers. So how do we apply this for us? So my question is, how does your faith, how does my faith compare to that of the centurion? Is it a faith that relies totally on Jesus? totally on Jesus, not anything that we can do, not anything the world can offer, but totally on who Jesus Christ is a completely dependent upon the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Does your faith extend to others through intercession on their behalf? You see, the centurion was interceding on behalf of his servant. His faith extended to his servant. Does our faith extend to those around us that we know need a touch from God? And it's not dependent on their faith or even their belief in Jesus, but it's dependent on ours, knowing that God can heal because his word tells us that he heals. And who knows but what in that healing, whoever we're interceding for and praying for, if they don't know Jesus, through our faith, they will come to know Jesus. They will see Jesus in us through the faith that we display. So let's close in prayer this evening. Lord, may our faith be like that of the centurion. May it astonish those around us that they see only Jesus and the power and authority by which he saves all who believe by faith in him. May our faith remain completely committed to your power and authority over our lives. We believe and trust in you alone, in Jesus' name. And dear Lord, there may be those out there that maybe you're listening and you say, I don't have this faith. I don't know this Jesus, but you want to believe. Something struck you about the centurion's faith, and you say, you know, I believe I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's just a matter of a simple prayer. You just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe by faith that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior by complete faith in who you are and the power and authority that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was you, if you prayed that prayer, we encourage you. There's a phone number on our website. Give us a call. We would like to celebrate with you and give glory to God on your behalf. God is good. We love you. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday at 10 a.m. Good night.